The only reason this song is a bumper consistently is because of my next guest.
Could you whisper in my ear the things you want to feel? I'll give you anything to feel it coming. Till you wake up on your own, I wonder where you are and live with all your faults. I want to wake up where you are. I won't say anything at all.
Joining me to talk food is a rich guy from Connecticut, private school guy, joins the Marine Corps to experience the real world, and Rob Schwarz, now trying to make up for his mollycoddled upbringing by...
Yeah, my silver spoon upbringing.
Silver spoon upbringing by roughing it in Montana and Idaho. How's that whole thing working out? How's the whole macho act working out for you? Good?
Yeah, no, it's good. It's working out well. I mean, people are believing it, at least.
What so first of all, tell everybody, where are you today?
I am in Big Timber, about 20 miles southeast of Big Timber.
20 miles southeast of Big Timber, Montana. And Big Timber is chiefly known for?
Sheep and cows.
Sound like you had to think about that for a second. That's never good when you have to think.
Well,
about
it's 1,500 people. I mean, so it's not like there's a bunch of shit going on here.
So it's Big Timber, small population.
Yes. Actually, there's not that much Big Timber anymore.
Oh, I'm going to be in Montana from probably about 10 or 11 July till about 19 July.
You're going to just skin in here.
PCS.
And you're staying here.
PCSing to Montana for about 10 days. So
it's not PCS. That's TAD.
So I'm fired up about that. Rudy says he wants to join me, but we'll see. You know, we're not sure if that's just bold talk from a one-eyed fat man or if he's actually serious about it. So,
and he's a friggin' pilot, so of any of us. He's the guy that should be able to make that kind of spur of the moment.
But, you know, he's
going to Montana to visit my boys and hang out in the friggin' woods, shoot guns, drink beer, do man shit for a bit, then go home and be a California pussy again.
Oh, really? We got to go there? He doesn't appreciate that. Come on. He's kind of an evolved human being. So as a pilot and he's a food guy too. You guys are food guys, and there's nothing wrong with it. You don't need to apologize for being a food guy, do you?
No. Everybody should be. I mean, it's an art. I mean, if you're a man and you want to take up art, the culinary way is the way to go.
Oh, really? You would recommend that? Why? Is it good? Can you meet girls or whatever your preference is? Are you more apt to if you could? Yeah,
where have we gone? I haven't listened to the radio show.
No,
like,
I'm just saying.
Are we this, that politically the, correct? The, right the, now?
No, this is
day. Whatever your preference is.
This is a program for everybody. All right. So whatever your flavor is, I'm not judging. Whatever.
No, the bullshit. You're not judging. You're just not saying it.
No, I'm not judging. So is it a good way? Does it open a lot of doors or talk?
It opens doors to everyone.
Oh,
I mean,
food.
Yeah.
All right. So,
I mean, you know, I mean, what's one of the oldest sayings in the world is, you know, the way a man's heart is through his stomach. Well, it works the other direction as well.
I thought you were
or right. Whatever your preference may be.
There you go. All right. So let's talk about, first of all, I want to talk rubs with you. Cause you know, you're not really from Montana. I've given you that name trying to rehab your Connecticut image, but
it's not. You're gonna have to come clean with that bullshit at some point.
When
you're giving me a bad image?
No, I'm not. You're Montana man. Everybody thinks you're the Marlboro man. And so they haven't even seen.
But then you go, he's from Connecticut, where I've never actually ever lived in Connecticut. But somehow I don't know how you got that put together.
Where's that school that you
Vermont.
Went to? Vermont. Oh, Vermont. So
Norwich is in Vermont.
So where did you grow up?
Indiana.
You grew up in what city?
Bloomington, outside of Bloomington.
Bloomington, where the University of Indiana is, yes?
IU.
Bobby Knight.
Bobby Knight. I was there through that whole deal. Matt Bomba sat next to me in second and third grade, and his dad was the he was the doctor that sat next to Bobby Knight for all those games.
What did we talk about banging things on the table when you're on Skype?
Sorry.
All right.
Sorry.
Don't maybe get the wire brush out this early in the interview. The Matt Bomba takes down Bobby Knight. And for those of you who don't know, Bobby Knight, a veritable legend, right?
Oh, yeah.
In Indiana. Him and those red sweaters he used to wear and Indiana. Indiana.
I think I still have mine from when I was a kid.
Indiana basketball.
I mean, we had them, you know, at age six. I mean, you got your IU red V-neck sweater.
Indiana basketball is like North Dakota hockey. Indiana got nothing else in the state in terms of, like, they got the Pacers and, like, now they got the Colts. They didn't have the Colts, so. So it was your state's claim to fame. North Dakota has
used to have the, will you remember what the hockey team was? I think it was the Racers.
Yeah, that was, like, minor league hockey, though, right?
No, I thought they were, because I played at that rink.
They were never in the N. They might have been in the American Hockey League, but that was kind of not really. That was like until Bobby Hull went there and like jazzed it up a little bit. It wasn't real.
Indianapolis Racers, I think. I thought that was the
NHL. Indianapolis.
I got pictures with Phil Esposito at that rink.
At that rink. Indianapolis Ice, weren't they?
No.
No?
Not then. This was in.
Oh, back in the 50s.
70s, early 80s.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that would have probably been the WHA, the World Hockey Association. And because Indianapolis is never part of the NHL. But you catch my drift. So Bobby Knight was a big deal and pretty crushing for the whole state when old Bob went the way of the Robert E. Lee statue in Virginia here the last couple of days. He got pulled off his pedestal and that thing. And then Indiana basketball went in the tank. It was awful. Absolutely awful.
Well, they started getting close over the last couple of years, but not the dynasty that they were.
They used to be. Yeah, they were the shit, man. Indiana. All right, so let's talk food. Let's talk either sauce or rub that you would give us to put on steak, chicken, pork, something. Give us a something sauce, rub, something of that genre.
Okay, steak is it kind of, you've got to feel your taste. The classic, and I think the chef will tell you this. I mean, he is a coarse salt, coarse pepper guy.
Right.
Maybe a little olive oil, and I'll tell you what, you cannot go wrong. If you have a really good cut of meat, I mean, I would stick to that. Just go with a coarse salt and pepper and some olive oil.
Okay,
but
look, I did not bring you on this fucking show for you to say that, okay? So you better have something else. Other than...
Don't screw it up with a bunch of shit.
Okay. Well, the key is, okay, but if we were...
If you're cooking a T-bone or a friggin' New York strip, I mean, I like a mesquite flavor, and I'd said it before on this show, that Fiesta brand mesquite stuff with no salt in it, I like. Because any kind of rub you buy, just look at the bottle, and it's – I stay away from anything where the first thing on it is salt. I mean, because that's a – I mean, just your body craves salt, so it's always going to taste good, and that's why they put that in there first. And I always like the discretion of, I'll add the salt the way I like to add the salt. Not you guys add a pile of salt and then some seasoning behind it.
No, you sound.
I like to do it the other direction.
No, you sound. That's what the chef says. That's why he says he cooks with unsalted butter.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll add the salt as I see fit. I don't need you to put it in there for me. And that shit's hard to find, man. I sat there in the grocery store the other day in Idaho, and I was like, shit, I'm out of the rub I like, so I'm rooting through the whatever McCormick's, you know, pre-done stuff, and you pick it up and you look at it, salt. First thing. And then you go to the salt-free stuff, and it's like, you know, lemon pepper.
Right.
I mean, there's not a lot of good stuff out there
So what do you have to do? You have to go online to track this stuff down? So it's Siesta brand, mesquite what?
Fiesta. brand. It's Mesquite Rub. Is the and their brisket rub with no salt.
Okay, hold on. So
look up the brisket rub salt free. But I'm typing brisket rub salt free.
Okay, hold on. But I'm screwing it up. I'm typing Siesta. Are you not saying that?
I'm not. I'm saying Fiesta with a foxtrot.
Roger. Notice I threw that Roger in there so military types like you would be comfortable with it.
Right. You're all about the making your guest comfortable on this show.
Yeah, that's you know me. I'm all about that. Don't want anybody to feel
uncomfortable. Guy, you don't want anybody to get their butt hurt.
Exactly. Everybody got to be comfortable, and that's where I like it on this show. The all right.
Yes. I'm still going to go back to the whatever your preference is.
Got to change with the times, man. The okay. Bolner Fiesta brand Mesquite.
That's the one.
Flavored fajita seasoning with tenderizer.
That's one of them. And they got a ton of stuff.
So they've got a whole
they have a whole salt family. Free section.
Okay. So I got to put in salt free. And so of those rubs, which is your favorite?
The brisket, salt-free brisket rub.
Salt-free brisket rub. Okay. All right. How about do you use any kind of – give me a sauce that you like to use. If you're going to put sauce on chicken or something else, pork.
I'll tell you on pork, I don't sauce pork much. I mean, a pork chop should be the standalone deal.
Right. But if you're making a little bit of barbecue, pork barbecue, do you have a sauce that you
– your chop? Not on the chop. I did. I like to mix, stuff off the shelf, and it's to make it a
so you mix
more vinegary base.
Oh,
like so you can go get Sweet Baby Ray's barbecue is the one I like to use.
Right, and then
with a bunch of vinegar and a little more brown sugar in it. If I was to put a glaze on like a pork rib or something like that, I just like that. I mean, after being stationed in Bragg and tasting some of that North Carolina barbecue, I like that vinegar base.
So just so a little more so seasoned to taste with vinegar and brown sugar.
Yeah, like you get and I like that Sweet Baby Ray's stuff as your base barbecue sauce.
All right.
And then add a little vinegar to it and a little more brown sugar. And then, hell, you can even kick it up, with a little cayenne in it if you want it hotter, especially on, like, chicken wings. If you're going to do a wing deal and you don't want that, straight buffalo butter, right. Vinegar, and spice right. Is what really that buffalo flavor is,
right.
Throw a little bit of that Sweet Baby Ray's in there and it cuts it back, but you can throw a little spice into it with cayenne. I like to use to mix into it, and butter always helps. Just clarify some butter, barbecue, vinegar, and then how much ever spice you want to add to it for heat with the cayenne.
Okay,
on wings. I'm specifically talking to wings there.
Got it. Explain to everybody what clarify butter is.
You basically simmer the butter so the whey and the oil separate, and you're going to take that oil, the clear part, not the white part, and that's basically the straight up fat.
That's the clarification.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Give me a vegetable that you like to prepare, and we're talking. It is summer, so we'll talk grilling shit. Give me a vegetable you'd like to prepare on the grill.
I want to go back to the chicken and the sauce on the chicken.
Okay.
Something that's super, super easy. I mean, chicken marsala. And you can grill the chicken, you can bake the chicken, you can saute the chicken, you can braise the chicken, however you want to do it, and then put this on it. And nobody has marsala wine in their cupboard, I guarantee it. But you should go get some. Smallest bottle you can find. Put it in your cupboard because this is an easy deal. Shallots, minced, mushrooms sliced, butter in the pan, saute the shallots, saute the mushrooms, flash in that Marsala wine, and then a little brown gravy, and just mix that together and put that on top. It's a, and they serve it at every high-end restaurant, and it's the simplest, most, it's tasteful with that Marsala wine in it, that it's just an easy thing to make. And if you have that Marsala wine in the cooking cabinet, that is a sauce to just put on a chicken breast that, I mean, no matter how you prepare it, you can slap that on there, and it's always good.
Okay, so it's give us the portions when you're making it. Are you doing this to taste, or if I was going to make it, being cooking stupid, give me base directions on how to make this.
No, you're going to kill me on it.
I know.
I don't. It's all to taste, really.
Oh, so you're one of those guys. Oh, all right.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I mean, that's how I always cooked. Was there was never a recipe. It was, I mean, you're going to, if you like mushrooms, you can put a pile of mushrooms in it, put it that way.
Got it.
The shallots, you don't want a bunch. They just want to give it that little oniony base
right
back.
Okay.
Behind it. And I would say 10% Marsala wine to whatever you're going to use for a brown gravy. In the restaurants, you make it from a demi-glaze, which is the true way to make gravy. And then it's demi-glaze in, water in, and then the reduction to thickness. But you can make it with, you can just put brown gravy in that recipe and it comes out well.
All right.
And a demi-glaze is the, like you buy the little cubes to make gravy with.
Right.
That would be almost the next step of taking bone marrow out of bones. You basically boil bones down to the point they become a gelatin, and that's a demi-glace. And if you have that in your fridge, which not many people are going to, you know, take a bunch of cow bones and boil them until they make a gel, put it in their fridge and keep it. But that's the way they do it in restaurants. The easy way to do it at home is just to, you know, have a brown gravy on hand and use that.
And just jazz it up with the wine and the shallots.
Shallots, right. And mushrooms, correct. Shallots, mushrooms, sautéed, wine flash, burn the alcohol off of it when it's in that pan,
right.
Sautéing in the butter, and then, you know, fill it with the brown gravy and over any piece of chicken, it comes out good.
Got it. All right, give me a vegetable that you like to grow.
I don't do vegetables.
You don't do vegetables? You're not a vegetable guy?
Going there.
Nothing. Not asparagus. Not sweet potatoes. Not potatoes.
Well, that's not a vegetable. That's a starch.
Not cauliflower. Nothing on the grill.
No.
Wow.
No.
Wow. Didn't any of your servants make that shit for you growing up?
You motherfucker. No, I was strictly, I've been meat and potatoes straightforward. And I'm sure there's going to be some guy who gives me a colonoscopy at some point and says, you should eat more vegetables.
Yeah, you think? That's all right. You'll learn. And here I am reminding you about it. And you're still not good with it. But,
no, well, what do you do? You're from California. You do that fruity vegetable shit.
Well, I mean, my mom. I mean, we were like a middle class family, and I mean, we ate vegetables. We had to. I mean,
your dad was the manager for the Boston Red Sox.
No. Not when
talk
I was
about a middle class freaking family.
Not when I was a kid. He was a minor league guy, and he worked for the Southern Pacific Railroad. And there was five of us, and my mom didn't work. She stayed at home, right? So they had to give you food. And it couldn't all be beef or chicken, right? That's why we had
it's expensive.
Exactly. That's why those dishes, man. The you know, cream tuna, a can of tuna fish, right? Milk, flour, butter, and peas over toast. Okay, That
you didn't even get the cream of mushroom soup on that shit?
No, that probably set us back at least seven bucks for the whole family. And you could have seconds. And if things were going well, we'll dump a second can of tuna in there, and you'll have all kinds of tuna in that son of a bitch. Yeah, that's, I mean, come on. I mean, dishes like goulash, right? Noodles, beef, stewed.
Answer me this.
Stewed tomatoes.
Growing up, did you ever eat government cheese?
I never did.
I did. My dad came home with that shit one time. I was like, what is this?
We were not around the government. We were like self-sufficient Americans. So we were not like.
Well, that's why I was wondering where he got it from.
Where did he get it from?
I don't know. He was managing the GE light bulb plant in Bloomington.
Oh, yeah. But we were not affluent. Right. He was managing the Ford production line of the Edsel, but we were a struggling middle-class family.
Actually, it was the refrigerator plant.
Whatever. When you're running
plants. And he worked his way up to that.
Oh, I bet he did. There, so
it must have been early on in his tour at the GE plant in Bloomington that we had that.
Yeah, yeah. So so the servants, what do they make? They don't make vegetables? Your mother didn't instruct them to make vegetables?
Dude, quit it.
But every night there was, you know, beef, chicken, fish, something like that. There was vegetables and normally, you know, rice or potatoes, you know, that my mom would make. So there was all the major food groups on the plate. So, and it was normally pretty cheap.
The food pyramid?
Yeah.
The cheap food pyramid was there, yeah.
Yeah, and that's, that's to me what's interesting when you look at all those dishes is that, moms didn't work when I was a kid, more so when you were because you're younger than me, but my mom didn't work, so it wasn't like there was, you know, she wasn't coming home with $400 worth of groceries, I could tell you that shit right now. And right, and there was not like popsicles and cookies on demand. There was cookies when she fucking made them, okay? And then they were rationed. And if you got caught,
they were rationed.
If you got caught,
fucking whole cookie jar. Keep your freaking hand out of the cookie jar. Don't get me wrong. I can still picture the freaking cookie jar from when I was a kid. It was a big old freaking ceramic pumpkin.
Ours was a fryer. A friar in a brown robe, and his head is what you grab to pull it off. It was, and it was ceramic. He was a big fat guy too.
Exactly. And shit, I think those things were counted. I mean, she knew exactly how many freaking cookies were in there.
Oh,
and like you said, they were rationed. You know, I was like, all right, you know, dinner's over. You ate your shit. And oh, by the way, Rob, you pushed your salad off, half of it to the dog. So here's your cookie.
Yeah. Let me just tell you, when we, now kids grow up, right? There's potato chips, there's wheat thins, there's goldfish, there's, you know, ice cream. Man, when I was a kid, right? I mean, dinner was the main event. And it would be a special deal when my mom would make pies afterwards, and we would have ice cream. And it wasn't there all the time, but on occasion she'd buy a gallon of ice cream. But there was ultimately six of us. Gallon of ice cream is not going that far if everybody gets two scoops, man. We're halfway through it on the first round. Nobody's getting a third scoop. And so,
how many kids?
Four, and then my mom and dad. Yeah. When I was a kid. So, you know, so when you know, we had dinner, I mean, we had the clean plate club. You ate what she put on your plate, and it didn't. And my mom was a good cook, so it's not like we ever ate anything. And the same thing with cookies. My mom made my favorite cookie of all time is my mom's oatmeal cookies. They're called, the recipe is like Aunt Tina's oatmeal cookies. And you make the oatmeal dough, and then you take the glass, right? You dip it in water. And then you dip it in sugar, and then you mash the ball of dough down so that the sugar's on top of the cookie, and then you bake it. Let me just tell you, man. She sent me a box of those in Iraq, and you have to share them with everybody. I was not pleased about that shit that day. Like, you guys don't even rate these cookies. They're like, whatever, dude, give us some. Give us some. And you have, and the rules are, I mean, you got we share, everybody shares. But yeah, my mom, my favorite cookie of all time, and I would go in like a scavenger, like hang out in the kitchen. She'd say, "I gave you three already." I'm like, could I have another one?
Like a bad dog after supper.
Exactly. I look like one of my dogs just staring at her. Could I have another one? No, you've had enough. Damn it. Damn it.
Snickerdoodles.
Yeah, so.
All year long, and then around Christmas, those thumbprint cookies with either a berry marmalade type deal in the middle of it was.
Berry marmalade? You could. Yeah. Oh, no. I wasn't wealthy, I wasn't affluent. Berry marmalade? Really? What the fuck is that? I don't even know what it is now.
Go to the fucking store and get Smucker's, you know, blackberry jam, really is what it is, jam. It's not marmalade. Marmalade, they pile a bunch more sugar into.
Oh, see, you would know that shit. I wouldn't. I was just eating a chocolate chip cookie or an oatmeal cookie. That's all we got out in the sub.
The thumbprint cookies, man. It's around the holidays.
What's a thumbprint cookie? I don't even know what that is.
It is. It's kind of almost like a sourdough cookie that they just, you press your friggin' thumb in and then dollop some jelly in the middle of it. And then it? Bake it.
Are they like bite-sized cookies or what?
No, it's two bites. They're smaller. They're not like your full-on chocolate chip or snickerdoodle.
Well, okay. All right. That's all I need you for, man. I know you're a busy guy. I know you got interns up there, and I know you're busy. How's the whole COVID epidemic up in Montana? Is that a thing or not?
It's not a thing.
It's not a thing.
I wouldn't know, and I've quit. I mean, like I've said in the past, I don't watch the news. Now I don't fucking watch the news. I mean, literally, because I wouldn't know there was a thing.
You're missing out because Rudy's home region, Seattle, the home of your nemesis, Pete Carroll. yeah, Montana man hates Pete Carroll, and Rudy will sometimes because Rudy's got brain damage from being a pilot or a financial officer in the Marine Corps. I don't know which one, but Rudy doesn't remember, and then he'll post like something in our little text thing about the gutty little Seahawks. Right now,
it's like he's just wait.
Oh my God,
he's got to know. How can he not know?
He's not very smart. He's a pilot, but he's not very smart. And Luke and I are 49er fans. We hate the Seahawks, and so we just don't talk like Seahawk 49er football at all, ever. We don't say that. All of a sudden, Rudy bums in. But Montana man,
and he'll send fucking pictures.
And he'll,
like, well, we were at freaking Seahawks.
Oh my God,
Carol was so nice to us, and yeah. I'm just like, you can't. I cannot contain myself.
He can't, and so it's like he can't withstand coming off the top rope on Pete Carroll. And he goes back to USC, and he brings up Pete Carroll's whole history, and then finally Rudy taps out. I can't take it anymore.
He just quits talking because he can't. Because he fucking can't. The guy's a freaking criminal.
Well, now the whole city's been taken over by.
That's beautiful. I'm loving it.
Some kind of anarchist element that is.
Yeah, which I haven't researched yet, and I don't want to go there because I'm pretty happy right now. I'm gonna poke my head up in like 2 months. And go, okay, what happened?
They've declared their independence.
Seattle's being run by some anarchist group, and
no. They've taken over part of downtown, six square blocks, and they've declared it. That they've seceded from the United States. Yeah, it's rich.
Yeah, I know.
It's rich.
No, I glanced at it.
But they had a big.
I don't read the news. I would used to spend 5 minutes on the headlines, and now I spend 5 seconds. I just scroll down.
Yeah, the best part of it was that a bunch of homeless people ate all their chow, so they were asking people to bring vegan meals down. Downtown, right? Because homeless people, right? They're gonna look at a vegan meal and go, "What the fuck is this, man?" And hand it to the dog.
Can't even make a turd out of that.
Exactly,
thing.
Homeless people—they don't fuck around when they're dealing with food. So
they know how to live.
They know how to live. All right. All right. Anything else you want to get off your chest before you leave?
Oh, there's plenty, but I'd probably not do it here.
All right. All right. We're gonna wind up doing the show live from up there, maybe a couple times.
Yeah. No, we will. And dates again?
Somewhere around the 11th of July. But on the 12th, I got to be in Nye, Montana. On the 14th, I got to be in Fort Smith, Montana. And on the 18th, I got to be in Helena, Montana.
So is that, early on.
Is that near you or not near you?
No, you're getting away. But when you're around Greycliff, that first place.
All right. All right.
Shit, that's right down the road, man. I mean, you're spending the night here.
Okay. All right. Well, looking forward to it. All right. Coming to you at a future date from Big Timber, Montana, where they don't have any more Big Timber and there's not many people there. So,
exactly.
Rudy, coming up next. Our dash two on the cavalcade of cooks today here on a Friday. Don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. Right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.